But I know about my battles, and I know how Satan is a liar, and I know how he wants to steal and kill and destroy, and his end game is just to mess you up, okay? He can't have your soul. If you've already given that to Jesus Christ, he ain't getting that. But he wants to make your life miserable. He wants to make your life miserable because God wants to use you, and God wants to bless you, and God wants you to have the abundant life now. So refuse, refuse. It's not in you, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Refuse to give in to Satan and his lies and begin to see yourself by God's promises and what God says about you. Can I get a witness? John 6, 30 through 35. So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written." He gave them, I'm going to read something else. That's not what I wanted to do. John 6, 32 through 35. Jesus then said to them, "Truly," that's good stuff. John 6, 32. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your anointing presence this morning. Thank you, Father God, that your will be done in this service. Thank you, Father God, that you are breaking chains, that you are setting the captives free. Father God, thank you that you will anoint and use this vessel. And everyone will look past the vessel, but hear your words and be encouraged and blessed, and our lives will be changed. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name. And everybody in the church said, amen. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. So Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And, you know, he's a loser. All God's people said, he's a loser. He is. He knows it, man. He knows he's a defeated foe. He knows he's a defeated foe. So his power is very limited. Because he's defeated, his power is limited to the authority that you give him in your mind. Well, that ain't true. My uncle so-and-so got cancer and he died. We live in a world that's messed up, man. Okay? And bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. We live in this world where the effects of sin randomly affect us. Okay, just like, let me explain it like this. The effects of sin, like raindrops that fall from the heavens. You might get hit by a raindrop, I might not. Okay, we live in this messed up world where we constantly deal with the effects of sin. Okay, but listen, the power that Satan has over you is the power that you give him. Does that make sense? Okay. Well, that's not true, because what about the guy that goes into Waffle House and starts shooting people? He gave Satan power in his mind. He gave Satan room in his mind. And yes, you will feel the effects of those sins because we live in this world, right? But we don't have to walk around defeated. We don't have to walk around in fear. We don't have to walk around stressed out or anxious. Can I get a witness? Don't give him room. Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him a place. Can I get a witness? So our main text that we just read, right before, well, about a day, a good day before our main text, Jesus just did this amazing miracle where he fed the 5,000. There was this huge, huge sermon out in the wilderness. 5,000 men, they didn't count the women, they didn't count the children. Well, that ain't right. I'm not saying it's right, they just didn't count, okay? But there was at least 5,000 people, probably closer to 10,000. But there was 5,000 people we know of that Jesus fed, each and every one of them. And they didn't just get a little niblet. They didn't just get a little bit of this or a little bit of that. They were fed till they were satisfied. They got their fill. Now, this was a pretty rare thing for this day and age in Palestine. They were under the iron fist of Rome. They were taxed like crazy, and food just wasn't that plentiful. But here comes this man from Galilee with these amazing words and doing these amazing miracles. And this particular miracle didn't just affect the guy who got his eyes opened up. This particular miracle didn't just affect the guy who was crippled from birth. Not that those aren't miracles, but this was every single person that was at the church service got blessed that day. They got fed that day, and they knew that this was something amazing. Matter of fact, Jesus and his disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee, and guess what? This crowd continues to look for Jesus. They get in boats, and they cross over to the other side where Jesus is. And so they track Jesus down. And see, they just had this amazing thing happen to them. And so it's, you know, they're like, okay, I'll put my plans for the week or whatever for life aside because I got to follow this guy. This is exciting. This is entertaining. I want to see more magic tricks. Wasn't magic, but you know what I'm saying. These guys didn't really understand what was going on. What really, they wanted more food. Well, how can you say that? Well, it's pretty much in the text. You know, they wanted another miracle like that. They had this amazing thing. Anyways, they catch up to Jesus. He's on the other side of the Sea of Galilee now. So I want you to follow along with me, John 6, 26 and 27. It's on your monitor. It should be on your bulletin as well. So Jesus talks to this huge crowd that has crossed over to find him. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." You are seeking me, not because you saw signs. What is he talking about signs? He's talking about signs and wonders. He's talking about miracles. He's saying, you guys came all the way over here, not because of the miracles, but because of the benefit you got from it. Not because of the signs, because if you are truly looking at the signs of these miracles that I've been doing, they're pointing to the fact that I am truly the divine Messiah. I'm not just a Messiah like you saw many times throughout Jewish history, not like Moses, not like David, not like Samson, not like Joseph, not like these guys. Those guys were a foreshadowing or pointing to me, but I am the true Messiah. I am the Son of God. And he says, you're looking at things at a temporal level. You're following me because you got your bellies full. Well, guess what? That was a day ago, and you're getting hungry again, and you want me to make some more bread. You want me to do the thing again. But I got something that I'm talking about, something eternal, not something temporary. These signs are to point to the fact that I am the Messiah, the Son of God. And they wanted Jesus before these guys crossed over, before the disciples crossed over and Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee. This amazing thing happened after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. These guys said, this is the guy. But they still, even though they said, this is the one, this is the Messiah, they were still thinking at a very temporal level. They were thinking, let's grab this guy and make him our king. Let's grab him. Let's make Jesus Christ our king. We're going to put him on a chariot. We're going to march into Jerusalem, and we're going to take back the kingdom. So look, it's not about your plan. That's a big blessing when we really realize that. When we really realize it's really not about us. It's not about us, but it's about him. And Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with it. They said, we want to make this guy king. You know what Jesus did? He rounded up his disciples. Said, come on, guys. I don't want you listening to this rubbish because you guys got preconceived ideas as well. You guys get in this boat. Go ahead and get started. Go ahead and cross the sea. I'll catch up with you guys later. He gets them out of there. He don't want them messing and listening to any of that garbage. And then Jesus goes away and prays. He doesn't want to entertain that junk. He knows he's got a mission from God. He knows that he is here to do the will of the Father, not the will of man and not his own will. You know what I mean? And that's us too. We're here to do God's will, not our own will. You know what I mean? And that's a lot of the time, that's where we're going to get the fulfillment and satisfaction out of life when we realize, you know, I'm here to give him glory. Not about me. Then I shouldn't have to worry about a 401k and going to, I'm not saying that stuff, man. Listen, man, work hard, save up your money, do all that, set goals and everything, but keep God, keep Christ at the center of everything. You know what I mean? Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Verse 27, this is good. "Do not work for the food that perishes. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." What an amazing, amazing, powerful verse. Let's dissect it a little bit. Do not work for the food that perishes. Don't be caught up or distracted by the things of this world. You know, I mean, think about, here's this huge group of people, and Jesus is like, "My goodness gracious, think of the energy that you guys just dispensed of, all the hard work you guys did to track me down, you know, so I would give you a little more bread, a little more fish, so you could see the big show, so you could, I'm not being disrespectful. These people did not get it. They didn't understand it. Because you will see that in the text, Jesus says, "You guys don't get it. You don't get it." And okay, so he's got 5,000 plus followers right now, plus everybody else clinging to him. But when he gets to that cross, there's going to be a few women and John. You know, there's going to be a handful of scared disciples. So these guys don't get it. But Jesus is still going to reveal himself to him and say, "Look, I'm the bread of life. Don't be chasing this temporary stuff." And we can spend our whole lives, you know, trying to find that fulfillment in the things of this world, but they're never going to satisfy, temporarily at best. The wages of sin is death, and sin is certainly joyful for a season. And that's the truth. That is the God's honest truth. If sin wasn't joyful for a little bit, wouldn't no one have a problem with it? You know what I mean? But it is, man. It's exciting. It's fun. It's hooping and hollering. It's all that stuff in a bag of Frosted Flakes. But you know what? I happen to like Frosted Flakes. Not Corn Flakes, but the doesn't really matter. I'm just saying, if you're going to get me some breakfast cereal, if you're thinking about getting me a breakfast cereal, not flakes, not just flakes, but Frosted Flakes will do just fine. They got a value box. Moving forward. Do not work for the food that perishes. Church people, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. But come to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who defeated hell, death, and the grave. There's something bigger than everything you see when you look in the window at West Brothers or Kmart's or whatever, man. I need a nap. Let's just take a break. Does anyone remember West Brothers? Moving forward. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Listen, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. So let's talk about that just for a brief second. Jesus Christ has already given his seal of God the Father gave Jesus Christ his visible, audible seal of approval when Jesus was baptized. And the Holy Spirit ascended like a dove, and there was that voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That was God the Father saying, "Look, you don't have to question his authority. He represents me. He has the same authority as the Father." And so Jesus Christ is making that same claim. He says, "I have a seal of authenticity." Now, back in the old days, so they'd have a scroll with an important document. One thing for sure is you did not want to get caught opening up a scroll that didn't belong to you. So to make sure that would happen, that it would not get opened up, they would pour a wax seal around this scroll or this paper that was rolled up, and then they would seal it with a ring. Okay, so now it's sealed, and you could not break that seal. If you broke that seal, that was big trouble. So if I had a note that was going to me and some king, okay, that thing could not be broken. God the Father says, "My Son has my stamp of approval." Jesus Christ is saying, I have the Father's seal of approval to do this. I am the Messiah. Let's go to the next slide. So these guys find Jesus, and Jesus says, look, man, I cannot believe you guys came all the way over here just for a little more bread. Since you're here, let me tell you, man, there's something way more important than just getting your bellies full. Because you're going to get hungry again. You know, you drink some water. Yeah, that replenishes you. You're not dehydrated, but it's not going to last forever. But let me tell you about some living water. Let me tell you about this bread of life. And the message is the same for us, not just for this group of folks. Look at Colossians 3, verse 2. Let's go to the next slide. Colossians 3, verse 2, if we have it. Yeah, Colossians 3, verse 2 right there. This is for us. This is for us right now. Set your minds on things that are above. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things on earth. Not for the things that are on earth. Sometimes we get that a little messed up because here we are, and God reminds us, hey, this is a temporary thing. You're a pilgrim passing through. Now I want you to leave your mark here. I want you to let your light shine. I want you to live for me. I want you to give God glory every single day of your life. But don't get bound up and wrapped up in this stuff because this stuff will not satisfy. Don't be distracted by it. Okay, if it shines and glimmers, don't follow it off the cliff. What he's saying is, God is saying, Christian people, we need to prioritize. We need to make sure we're focusing on what is truly important. And what is truly important is putting God first. You know, okay, so this is what I'm trying to say. When we desire to put God first, and instead of pleasing ourselves, this is true. See, I want to do what God's called me to do. I want to be obedient to God. I don't know what God's called me to do. Preacher, what are you talking about? You know what God's called you to do. You're up there. I'll get it. I know what God's called me to do, and I'm doing it. But God's called us all to be obedient to him. See, how do I be obedient to him? You crack open this good book. You read this good book, and you do what this good book tells you to do. If it tells you don't do it, don't do it. You want to find yourself in God's will for your life? Seriously. It's not as crazy as you might think it is. It's not about digging up something and God's like, oh, he's getting close, Gabriel. He might just fulfill his plan for him. No, it's not like that. Look, you get into the good book and when it says do something, do it. When it says don't do it, don't do it. You know what I mean? And God will place you where he wants you to be, where he needs you to be. Well, that just sounds too simple. That just sounds too easy. He's not trying to hide anything from you. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, he'll fill you up. It's about prioritizing. He'll put you in the place he wants you to be when you just say, God, here I am, send me. Amen. I've seen it. Anyways, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of earth. Don't let the things of this world lead you astray. Now, we see our main text right here, John 6, 30 through 35. I'm going to do John 6, 32 through 33 right now. Now, so these people followed Jesus all the way to the other side, and now Jesus is going to get down to the nitty-gritty. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. First of all, Jesus Christ is saying, let's talk about this thing with Moses. Because Moses' worship was a pretty big thing at this moment in Israel. And he said, look, it wasn't Moses that gave you the bread from heaven. God moved through Moses. Moses was God's obedient servant. He said, and that speaks to me. I mean, it really, really speaks to me. Because Jesus Christ made this point. It wasn't Moses, okay? It was God. It was my Father. And the manna that fell from heaven, because manna did fall from heaven for 40 years while the children of Israel were in the wilderness on their way out of Egypt to the promised land, God supernaturally provided for their sustenance every single day, gave them manna from heaven or bread from heaven. He took care of them. But Jesus is saying, don't get focused on the messenger. Don't get focused in on Moses. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God. He is what is truly important. And I say that because in this generation, you see it when Jesus talks with the Pharisees, that there's literally almost Moses worship. Jesus was constantly being compared to Moses. You know, so it's not about being caught up in a personality or a person. Because so many times, I mean, seriously, man, we put our faith into a person, a preacher, a famous person or something like that. They're not going to be there for you all the time. People fall. People mess up. People are not always going to be there for you like you think they need to be there for you. But there's a God in heaven that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Can I get a witness? That's all right. People with their absolute best intentions sometimes will let you down. They won't even mean to. And then you can be all discouraged and stressed out and all that. And God says, well, don't do that. Keep your focus on me. On me. Okay. Then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. He's saying, it's not about the manna. It's not about the bread and the fish that you ate the other day, but I'm talking about that true bread, that true bread. Remember, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm talking about that true bread, not temporary fixes, because you can go get you some dope and get you a temporary fix. You can spend you some money and get you a temporary fix, but it ain't going to last. It's not going to last. Then you're going to have a little less money, a lot less money. Look, man, I'm just trying to be real, okay? There's a lot of things in this world that'll take your mind off of something for 45 minutes, an hour, 3 hours, 4 hours, maybe half a day the first time you do it. But it's not going to be there for you. It's going to let you down eventually. It's what Satan has to offer is it's a trap. It is to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? Oh, man, you're talking to the wrong person. I got a problem with dope. Look, we all have a problem with something that wants to take our affection away from the Lord. There's always that potential of something. And God says, prioritize, Christian person. Don't worry about these things, man, these temporary things. But look at it, it was truly important. The bread of life. I'm talking about eternal satisfaction. Give the Lord some praise. But my Father gives. My Father gives you the true bread. So when we hear the word, my Father gives, automatically, if you're like me, you might think about John 3:16. For my Father gives. Let's talk about what the Father in heaven gave to you. You know, because, look, I know a lot of people are really going through it right now. I'm not trying to sound like a broken record, but like Sister Claudia said, there's a lot of warfare going on right now. A lot of people are battling. Satan doesn't want to give up any ground, but he's already defeated, and we got to live and walk like we're already victorious and stand on God's promises. You know what I mean? And refuse to give in to the lies of Satan. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. So look right here. Let's focus for one tiny second on what God gave for you, because it ain't nothing tiny. It ain't nothing small. It's the most valuable, precious thing in all the universe, the most valuable, precious thing in all creation. Matter of fact, it never was created. It is the great I am, and it has always been there. And God the Father gave this for me and you, as messed up as we have been, as messed up as we can be, as Christian people, as discouraged and messed up and wacky that we allow ourselves to be, let's focus for a second on what God the Father gave you. And maybe this will give us a little thankfulness. I think sometimes Paul Rott needs to be a little more thankful for what God has done for him instead of complaining about this or that, but focusing on the fact, man, God has been good to me. Even if he only sent his son to die for me so I can live for all eternity, I should be able to sing his praises forever and ever. Can I get a witness? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. This gift is for everybody. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks, what your education, what your portfolio is looking at. You got a sailboat or a motorboat or a root beer float, it don't matter. I knew that was going to kill Skip. Root beer float, baby. Yeah, it just, stream of consciousness, man. I don't know. It just happened. But that kills. I'm going to remember that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Look at this gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, it's not like all the fake and false religions of the world where if you work really, 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 really hard, you might be able to get a seat in the back door of nirvana or some sort of heaven or something like that. The one true God sent his son to die, and he says, listen, you believe on him. It's not about doing good things. It's not about being spiffy or fancy or having 80 bucks in the bank. It's about accepting that precious gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So right here in the nasty now and now, as some preachers would say, you know, this should give us strength and give us encouragement that I am so loved by God, that he sent his son, that I get to have eternal life. In other words, the sovereign God, creator of the universe, died on a piece of wood. He died on a tree. He died on a cross. He bled out. He was paraded through the streets of Jerusalem naked. He went through all this torment, so I get to live forever? You know what? Look at your neighbor and say, winner. Winner, I'm a winner. It's not about you, though. It's about him. He puts all this value into you. It's like if you go to the old comic book store, which I like to go to. So I can't go to... Anywho. Okay, so look, man, you go to a swap meet, you go to a yard sale, or whatever, you found that most valuable, precious thing that you've been looking for forever. 80 other people could have walked by and said, that's junk. I don't need that. I got 14 of them. That's all it is. But when that one person finds it, he's like, oh my gosh, this is what I've been missing. He's placed value into that thing. He's like, this is what I need. This is what God has done for us. He has placed so much value into us. When the world says, I don't need you, you don't fit in around here, knucklehead, loser, we don't need you. You know what I mean? God says, no, I need you. I've placed so much value into you. I sent my son to die for you so you can have eternity with me. Let's continue with our text, John 6:32. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33, for the bread of God, listen, he's getting really, really down to the nitty gritty talking to these guys that followed him across this big lake, the Sea of Galilee. You know, he's like, okay, it's not about bread. It's really, really not about the manna. It's not about the fish and the bread. That was all pointing to me. Okay, now he's going to get really specific to these guys. For the bread of God is he. It's not something on your dinner table. It's a person. It's me. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven. See, the manna that fell down, that was a picture of Jesus Christ. That was a foreshadowing of me. Here I am. This day, this prophecy is fulfilled in your very eyes. It's me. I'm the Messiah. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. It's not temporary. It's not just this exciting thing. Like, did you get fish? I got fish. Did you get bread? I got all this fish and bread. I don't know what I'm going to do with all this fish and bread. It's not about that. It's about something eternal. It's about eternal life. Okay, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Jesus backs this up. John 6:58. This is, see, our main text is John 6:32-ish. But if we go down to John 6:58, which is quite a few verses down the way, Jesus is still having a conversation with these same people. And he's still talking to them about bread. You know, anyways, look. Farther down the way, we're just going to jump for a second, John 6:58. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like, imagine Jesus doing this, talking to this group of people. This is the bread that came down from heaven. I am the bread that came down from heaven. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like the bread the fathers ate. Not like what our ancestors ate in the wilderness, okay? That was temporary. They had to get that bread every single morning. They had to get it every morning. Okay, it wasn't going to last forever. It wasn't a one-time fix. You eat a little bit and boom, I'm good to go. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Because they did. They all died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. How about them apples? Whoever just was about to clap for the Lord, go ahead and give him some praise. Because this is the big deal, man. You know, we can chase all these things, man. And man, look, I'm not saying don't work hard. You need to work hard. Matter of fact, talking about bread, the good book says you don't work, you don't eat. How about that? How about that? Let that sink in for a second. The good book says you need to work hard. You don't need to look towards everybody else to pay your bills. You know, if you can do it, do it. I'm not saying we shouldn't have charity. This church does an awful lot in that area. But what I'm trying to say, man, is if you can work, you need to work. You know, and the good book says don't work, you don't eat. That's pretty, there ain't a lot of wiggle room there. And the same thing Rachel Jean said, never mind. Move forward. Moving forward. God has a sense of humor, don't he? I told you that's what preachers say when they kind of went too far on something. Like, oh, God has a sense of humor. I hope you do. John 6 and verse 58. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And so, yeah, one day our heart's going to stop beating. That's going to happen. If the Lord tarries, that's going to happen to every single one of us. One day we'll have our last conversation, have our last meal. Maybe you'll be gifted with a deathbed. Maybe you'll just go out like that. I don't know. But whatever happens for the believer, we don't have to fear that. We don't have to fear that at all. You know, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what this is all about. That's the point Jesus is trying to make to these guys. It ain't about this bread that'll make your belly feel good for a while. I got something that I'm talking about, joys everlasting in the presence of our Lord. Let's go to the next slide. Is everybody all right? I'm going to start at John 6:33. For the bread of God is he. For the bread of God is a man, is a person, is the second man of the Trinity, is Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now listen to what these guys say. Verse 34, they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. That's a nice thing to say. We're ready to commit. They're not saying they're ready to commit. They're saying they're still not getting it. They're still, okay, I'll take every day, bring it to me. I'll take it every day. It's going right over there. It's not getting it. So Jesus is going to drill a little bit. Jesus is going to get down to the nittest and the grittest. He's going to get down to the nitty gritty. They're like, okay, sign me up for two. You know, like, no. Listen to me. Jesus said, verse 35, this is it right here. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am. The bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So now he's like, okay, focus, little ones. It's not a tangible thing that you put in your belly. It is a he, it is a person. It is me. I am the bread of life. Now remember, this is a I am statement. He is saying, I am. So what is he saying? When he says, I am, he is saying, I am God. That's what he's saying. I am God. I am the gate. I am the door. I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John compiled 7 I am statements, all pointing to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is God. That's what John is saying with these statements. He wants the reader to understand, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is God right here. There's no way to the Father except through the Son. That's how this thing works. And John is trying to get that point across. He says, I am. He's saying, I am God. I am, or I am God. He says, I am the bread of life. Now listen, he says, like he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, or I am the good shepherd. It's very exclusive. He's saying, I am the bread. I am the bread. Not I'm a piece of bread. Not like there's many ways to get to the Father, like there's many ways to get fulfillment in this world, because there's not. There's really not. There's only, he's saying, I am the bread. I am the only way. I am the only bread of life. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Everything else in this world will lead you astray. Everything else, anything else you put above God, it's not going to be there for you. It's not going to be there for you. It's going to let you down. You know, young people were like, okay, if I just get this, the perfect mate, then everything will be perfect. The perfect mate means everything perfect. I'm not saying God ain't got the perfect person for you, but that perfect person ain't exactly perfect. That perfect person isn't going to fulfill every single need of yours. It's not going to bring you that fulfillment that you think they're going to bring. Does that make sense? Not really. Your mate is a blessing from God, but I'm just trying to say that true fulfillment comes from the Most High God. That's where you're going to find it. Okay, moving forward. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So let's do a few more verses real fast in closing. Let's do a few more verses talking about this. Let's do Matthew 5 and verse 6. Everything else is going to leave us unsatisfied. Empty and unsatisfied. You know, matter of fact, Solomon documented that he's got a whole book in Scripture where he decided to go out and try everything the world has to offer. And he had the ability to do it. He had access to anything a man could ever want. And he tried it all. And he said at the end, it's all a waste of time. It's all a waste of time. Serve God. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. If you want to have satisfaction in your life, if you want to truly be fulfilled in your life, hunger and thirst for God. I got to be honest with you. I don't quite exactly hunger and thirst for God, Paul. You know what? You know what we got to do? We got to prioritize. How do I prioritize? I say, God, I know that you are everything. Give me that desire to put you first. Do you not think God's not going to honor that? I say, God, I know that you are everything. Let my heart want you above all things. And Satan's going to come and attack you and try and make you doubt everything and throw these fiery darts. But man, you just hold on to God. Say, I just want more of God. I just want God. Like John the Baptist, there's got to be more of him and less of me. You know what I mean? God's going to honor that. He says, if you want to have a life where you feel actually fulfilled and satisfaction, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And look at Psalm 107, verse 9. This is a good one. For he satisfies the longing soul. Sometimes people just aren't satisfied. You know, and you can try and tackle everything this world has to offer or everything that's been in your mind. I've done this, and I thought I would be satisfied, be fulfilled. I got my degree, and I thought that brings fulfillment. I got married, I thought that brings fulfillment. I did this, I had this career, I chased this, I did this, I accomplished all this, and I still feel empty. That's because we're chasing the wrong things, or we're prioritizing the wrong things. Can I get a witness? But God says, that longing, listen, that emptiness that you feel on a daily basis, that hollowness that you feel all the time when you look around and see people smiling and laughing and you see people's stuff on Facebook, you're like, my gosh, I hate those people. Everything is so perfect for those people. Somebody, no, I'm not saying that. The longing emptiness, God says, I'm the cure for that. I'm not one of the cures. I am the cure for that. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. That's a promise from God. Psalm 107, verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. So we need to stop chasing these things that aren't going to fulfill. But we go to what truly fulfills. That's the whole conversation Jesus is trying to have with these people. It's me. You're not looking for the bennies. You're not looking for the tricks. You're not looking, not that they were tricks. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. You're chasing the wrong things. Instead of chasing what I can do for you, chase me. Run to me. Psalm 34 and verse 8. This invitation goes out to each and every one of us. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. If your weary soul, you would get so tired, we get so wore out. God knows you're overworked and underpaid. I'm playing. Okay, but I'm trying to say, man, is we get so weary and so worn out. Just trying to put food on our table. Make sure Junior has those special shoes for football practice. Whatever. You know, just running. And God says, look, you got to regroup. You got to focus. You got to prioritize. Instead of spinning your wheels and not getting anywhere and going to bed and your mind won't shut down because you're so stressed out about everything. Focus on what is truly important, and that is the Most High God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because you've done tried everything else, or if you haven't tried everything else, let me just go ahead and save you a lot of heartache. Seriously, let me save you a lot of heartache. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. That's where the peace is. It's in the Lord. He is the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the gate. He is the good shepherd. He is the true vine. So look, I want to ask you guys something. Here's the deal. I'm not trying to stretch the service out any longer, but eternity is a, okay, let me just set it down. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. Heaven or hell, you are always going to exist in either heaven or hell, eternal damnation, or in the presence of our Lord and Savior. And do not entertain that rubbish that the rock stars and the hip-hop gangsters and everybody, I've never felt more or less cool than I feel right now. You know, I just said that. Whatever. Don't listen to the lies. Yeah, stupid rubbish. All the good bands are in hell. Man, what a stupid thing to even play about. It ain't going to be no good time. It's going to be torment for all eternity. Look, or you can live eternally in the presence of our Lord and Savior. And it ain't going to be boring. It's going to be wonderful. You think this thing that Jesus Christ went to prepare for us is going to be boring? You think it's going to be like, oh, man, I don't know. I've already done everything you can do around here. Guess I'll go fishing for another 1,000 years. Maybe I'll catch that 1,000-pound bass again. I don't know. Guess I'll go check out the harps they got down there at Harp Central. It ain't, it's going to be wonderful. Wonderful. All right? So this is the deal, man. All we have to do is taste and see that the Lord is good. All we have to do is realize I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. I've broken God's law. I need a Savior, and that Savior is the bread of life. That Savior is Jesus Christ. That he was, for God so loved the world that he gave. He was given. He died. He suffered so I can live forever. It is beyond foolishness and stupidity to say I don't need that gift. I'll get there on my own. No, you won't. No, you won't. So look, here is the invitation, and it goes out to all people. If you want to have eternal life, if you want your sins to be forgiven, if you want to go to heaven when you die, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. All you have to do is repeat it, thank it, believe it. Repeat it, thank it, believe it. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner. I have broken your laws. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, Jesus. And be my Lord and Savior, Jesus. And I will serve you forevermore. I know you are the Son of God. And you died on that cross for my sins. And you rose from the dead, defeating death. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Congratulations. If anybody